This is CliffCentral.com.
Hello, 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 hello. This is Siyabonga Beyile live on the Thread Exchange. And of course, the best show on Cliff Central. A few people might beef with me for saying that, but I believe it is. Because this show is about young black people who are doing dope things. And also, shout out to everybody who thanked us last week for our show with Amanda Black. I think, yo, it was really, really dope. A life-changing experience indeed. And as you know, the theme is the same every week. The theme is the same in terms of we just love young black kids who are changing lives. They're not only their own lives, but the lives of people around them. And every week we just get people from different industries, man, and we have a conversation.
Yeah.
How are you, George?
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. I always feel like people are nervous when they come to my show because they never know what mood I'm in or how the conversation might move.
I'm easy. Any questions, really? I'm not really scared of anything.
You're not scared of anything?
No.
How are you doing? I always like asking people how they're doing because I feel like most of the time, we never actually ask that. We say it in passing, how are you? I'm fine. But how are you?
I'm stressed because of work and running my own business. And I think what has happened is that every year after June is when everyone has opened up budgets and everyone wants to work and is that from now till November it's just going to be a crazy period.
It's like we have until November to make as much money as we can because so that, December, January, Feb, March,
dry season. So now you're trying as much as you can to make sure that all your plans happen. You're having different conversations, payments, you know, invoices, all of that. So I posted the other day that I actually don't want any distractions now. Yeah. I just want to put my head down.
I think I've broken up with stress. I don't stress anymore. Like, can you believe it? Like, next week, Tuesday, I'm supposed to be going overseas. I haven't booked a visa. I haven't booked flights. Imagine.
So you have mine, you. People like, who don't stress. People.
No, it's because I'm waiting for people to pay me so I can do the things, you know.
True.
So, it's but I'm not stressed. Like, I'm always like, yo, what needs to happen will happen. If it doesn't, it doesn't. That's just life.
One day. Maybe I'll.
But I'm going to Europe. Either way, I'm gonna go.
Maybe I should get tips from you.
Yeah. So, dude, what I don't like doing on my interviews is I don't like introducing people according to their bios or, you know, their. What the world knows. I feel like this is not an interview, it's a conversation. So I want people to know the person, not the brand.
Yeah.
You know, the brand stuff, that's PR. I'm not in the business of
PR.
So I'm in the business of people. So I'm going to attempt to introduce you.
Yeah.
Not according to your bio, but according to what I know.
True.
So, that's ladies and gentlemen who are listening across the world, George, say it if I say your name correctly. Yeah, George Macheke.
George Macheke.
Macheke.
Yeah.
Yeah. So George Macheke, as far as I know, has been in the content business for more than 10 years.
Yes, definitely.
And he's the founder of Marvin, which is a respected men's fashion publication that lives online.
Yeah.
Besides that, George is an advocate for young black entrepreneurs.
Definitely.
He's an advocate for young black creatives.
Definitely.
He's definitely one of the people who are on the forefront of transforming, you know, content over the last couple of years, especially on the digital space.
Yeah, definitely.
And amongst other things, also a multi-disciplined creative. He's a creative director, he's a writer, he's a thought leader, he's all those things. But I think when it stands down to the person, what I like about George is your quality, man, your depth of the person you are.
Yeah.
I think I enjoy a lot of our conversations that we have on some of the projects we do together, and I thought, let me have you on the show and just have you speak on a couple of things that are on your mind, in your heart. You said you were stressed, so I think this is like I'm giving you like a therapy session. So hopefully after this,
I'll feel better.
Hopefully after this, you'll feel better.
No, definitely.
Who is George?
Oof.
Let's start there. Who is George?
So George is a young kid from Alex, who's never really fitted in within Alex. Most of my childhood, I was told that I don't look like I'm from Alex. I had to convince people that I'm actually from Alex.
How does someone from Alex look like?
I didn't know, but they didn't look like me.
Hectic.
Yeah, I didn't know. But like, there was a time, then later when I developed a complex where you would know where I'm from before you even know my surname. Because I wanted to be accepted within that. I'm a creative. I like design. I like interior design. I like content. I like telling our stories.
Yeah.
That's the reason why I started going to magazines, because I was like, no one is telling our stories. I want to tell my story and my friend's stories. Then, it was a journey that started everything else, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And tell me, when you look at the time when you're thinking about like telling, you know, stories of Africans and stuff through your publication, what was the one thing that you felt was missing in African storytelling?
There was authenticity.
Yeah. What does that look like to you? Because sometimes, like, I sit and I look at a lot of content about Africa. Yeah. I mean, I even have, like, fellow industry mates that tell stories about Africa. But sometimes I'm like, yo, man, like, you're telling one image of what Africa looks like, not the different textures of Africa. Because I feel like there's this prototype of Africa. Like, this is what Africa is. So, like, when you think Africa, we think Prince. Like, I'm tired of Prince. Oh, my God. Like
yeah. Like, because Prince was so 5 years ago. You know, they're out.
I feel like they're 10 years ago.
Yeah. But, like...
but, like, so when people think Africa, they'll think Prince. And you'll find that most of the time, these Prince are not even from us.
No.
I think, on my perspective, I think the one thing I hate about African storytelling is that there's one image that is consistently being perpetuated of what Africa should look like.
But it's because of exposure as well.
Yeah.
So when I started, so Marvin is like my fourth magazine that I've started. So
really?
Yeah. So I have.
Why? How the three others had? Did they fail, or was it circumstance that made you shut them down?
They did what they needed to do for me to get here.
Okay.
Because there's one thing that a lot of people, I think, maybe they might struggle with now that I don't struggle with, which is content.
Yeah.
Because it's relationships that I've built over the last 10 years. And like Marvin right now has about 700 articles.
Yeah.
And that's a lot for just a publication who's been around for 3 years.
Yeah. Definitely.
So it's those stumbling blocks, the failing, they're like, okay, let me try this and try that.
Yeah.
So every failure, it tells a story. So Marvin wouldn't be what it is if it wasn't because of those three publications as well.
Yeah.
So when I started telling the stories, it was because we were not telling our own stories, and the stories that I read, I could not relate to. Like they would tell you a story about the hood, but you're like, this person doesn't live in the hood. It's not using the languages. This is not what really happens.
Yeah.
So when I started
perpetuating the same image, like, even when people, like, I always hate in ads when they shoot in Joburg, they'll shoot in Joburg CBD, and that's Joburg. That's where we all chill.
Yeah.
That's where everything happens. There's no Santon. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the thing is, there's more to it, you know, and there's more beautiful places. So when I started telling our own stories, I realized that my friends were like, I can relate. And they started sharing. Because, like, the plan was to actually have one magazine, one issue, and tell my kids that daddy had a magazine. That's it. But people wanted more. Then it grew and grew and grew. And, you know, I started different things and all of that stuff.
What was your... Let me... So you've... So this is another thing I think I like doing about the show is that I like teaching the lessons. You're on your fourth magazine.
Yeah.
Right? And there's a kid out there who might have started a magazine and they feel like, yo, I should give up.
Yeah.
Can you run me through each magazine's biggest challenge that you faced or the biggest failure you felt at the time?
So there was Culture Shock. This was the first one.
Yeah.
That one didn't even make it anywhere. I think two people saw it. Then I shut it down. I was like, okay, it doesn't work. Because I couldn't afford... I wanted a print, but I couldn't afford print at the time.
Yeah.
Then I started Studio
And this
three.
Is 10 years ago.
This is like 2005.
Hey, this is more than 10 years ago.
Yeah, this is more than 10 years ago.
It's like almost 15 years ago.
Yeah. So then in 2006, I started Studio 83. Then I like, I'm going to do it once and I'm going to send it via email. Then that's it. Then I met my then business partner, Lebogang Kwan. He's like, I can give you a website. And at the time, we were one of the first online publications.
Yeah.
The people who consumed it were Americans, everybody outside the country. The people who started contributing as well was people outside the country. Because data was so expensive at the time.
Yeah. Which it still is.
It still is. There was a time where 5 gigs was 3.5. At that time, 5 gigs was 3,500 rand.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That is a hell of a lot.
Yeah. So, because I had that bill, actually.
Yeah.
So, from there on, Studio 83 lasted like for 10 years.
Yeah.
Where we were like the first people to have like your Nandi Mgom on the cover, your Kenzeros and all of those. Those are cool people. Oh, wow. Yeah. Then in the middle of that, we wanted to do like a very female focused magazine called Celebrate Life. And there was a friend of ours who passed on, Ulelethu Lumkwano, who was True Love Babes editor at the time. Yeah. And we dedicated that magazine for her, towards her and her name. And that also lasted like for 2 years. We had like Precious as well on the cover on that one as well. So all of those magazines just teach you craft content, because you're not going to get it right from the beginning. You're gonna, and also you're building relationships. That's what a lot of people don't get within that so I would speak to people who are not writers. I'm like, you got a story to tell, tell it to me. Even if you do it once, that's fine. You know, I would avoid writers, because writers have a specific way of thinking and writing which is not inclusive. So all of them taught me something better, you know. Celebrate Life, I understood that it's hard to have, as a man, to own a woman's magazine, because I'm not a woman. I don't know how to speak to women. I'm still trying to figure out women. Studio 83 was pop culture, which taught me that actually the world is open.
Yeah.
People just want content. And people, if you have good content, even before I shut it down, and there was like 4 years of me not uploading anything, there were like about 2,000 people every month who come through to check out content, which is good, you know?
Yeah.
So all of those lessons, I took it into Marvin, and people might look at Marvin and say, oh, it did well in 3 years, but that's the backdrop to
Marvin has basically been 10 years in the making.
Yeah.
Can I ask you something in terms of, what do you think of the South African magazine landscape? And when I mean magazine, exclude Marvin, because I feel Marvin is like a digital slash. Let's exclude Marvin Threaded Man and so on and so forth. Yeah. Let's talk about magazines, your true loves.
Yeah.
What do you think of the current state of magazines?
The world doesn't need another magazine.
The world doesn't need another magazine.
Why
is that?
Because this world is changing and the magazine industry doesn't want to change.
Can I debate that, like, in a sense that, I mean, I still, some people still like the idea of having a physical print copy of some sort.
That's true.
And, you know, I like a copy of Vogue. I like buying British GQ. True. I like how it feels, the covers, the quality. I like that. For me, nothing still beats that physical, you know, touch.
Yes.
You know, so when I asked you what you think of South African magazines, do you think South African magazines are going the right route with their covers? Do you think they are crafts? Being in the industry for 10 years and watching magazines, I mean, you were around when Kanye Dlomo was the editor of True Love. So you've seen different areas of different editors. So right now, in the current state of what we have in the magazine landscape, looking at Glamour, Elle Magazine, Destiny, do you think they're heading in the right direction?
They need young editors.
On a real note, let's talk honestly. Let's not think relationships.
Yeah.
Because one of the biggest things that I find crazy about our industry is that we never criticize each other. It's always, we don't. If you criticize, it's seen as beef. There's no beef. We are criticized as analysts here.
And I don't mind as well being criticized because it means that I can, because I don't know everything.
Yeah.
That means that I can work on that and try to make it better. So I don't mind being criticized.
So what do you think? So let's answer now. Yeah. Like, what do you think is the mistakes that magazines in South Africa are currently making? Where are they getting it wrong?
They have old people
running. What is old? So old, is it older than 25? Is it older than 30?
Like, I think there was one decision that I liked that True Love made with Mbali. Mbali's in her 30s, Soga, who's now the editor.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Why now she's the editor? Because the people that who are True Love are in that age, and the issues that she faces or she relates to makes sense.
Yeah.
So the previous editor was a little bit older, which doesn't make sense to a 25-year-old to be talking about those issues. You know what I mean? A lot of publications need young blood.
Yeah.
But people always hold on.
Some of these publications have young blood, but for some reason that's not translating. So I'm
like,
always,
which one?
Like, you mean, for example, Elle Magazine, I feel, has young blood, but I don't think necessarily the execution is what
But they have the wrong editor.
Yeah. So actually, let's actually get into that. Like, I feel so. I'll give you my opinion.
Yeah.
And you can say, I'm going to say what everybody is thinking.
Yeah.
I think, number one, South African magazines are out of touch.
Yes, they are.
They're out of touch with what drives.
What's happening on the ground.
What's happening on the ground. What drives young South Africans. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And I think they're out of touch with that.
Yeah.
They perpetuate certain stereotypes.
Yeah.
So when I open some magazines, I'm like, come on, like, that's not true.
Yeah, not in 2018.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then secondly, I also think South Africans are afraid of change.
Of course.
Especially South Africans who sit in these magazines and sit in these agencies that we work with.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes they can see that, okay, we're going digital, or this is the people we should have on the cover. Yeah. But for some reason, it's always like, but nah, our audience won't react. So they don't want to take risk.
No,
they don't want to take the giant leap of doing something that's really brave and innovative. So I always feel like our market is very much, not the market, but the creatives that sit in the agencies or sit in magazines are always afraid of being like, you know what, that's the future Black Coffee. Let's put him on the cover.
No.
You know?
Let me start with the first one. A lot of publications as well keep on choosing the wrong people for the job.
Yeah.
And obviously, they expect or hope that, you know, they bring change.
Yeah.
You, as an editor of any magazine, I'm the creative editor of Marvin. Yeah. I head Marvin. What it looks like, what it feels like, what it says, when it doesn't say.
Yeah.
Even when it doesn't say anything, it should say something.
Yeah.
But I'm the lead of that.
Yeah.
So if you have the wrong driver, what do you expect to happen?
Yeah.
There's nothing great is going to come out of there.
Yeah.
So you're going to keep on hitting the wall because of the person you chose.
Yeah.
So you need to choose the person who knows what's happening on the ground.
Yeah.
Who knows what they're passionate about content. They're passionate about magazines.
Also, another thing for me, I feel like, I'm not bashing magazine people, but I also feel like sometimes I feel execution is a bit lazy.
No, it is. Because the standards are low.
Because like I look at certain magazine covers and I'm like, yo man, like Glamour put Katy Perry on the cover and I'm like, you have a black editor, Sandra Suzani, but you have Katy Perry on your cover. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? So it's also that, or the covers don't mean something. Like, I feel like what I like about your covers with Marvin and what I like about looking at, like, Vogue and, like, GQ, they do things that the pictures that they shoot, you're like, I want to hang this on my wall. Like, GQ did that cover with Michael B. Jordan resembling the Black Panthers. I'm like, this is incredible. It's not just let's shoot Michael because he's a celebrity, but there's what is the story
context.
We're telling?
Context,
you know, and his character in Black Panther reflects that. So sometimes the covers, like for example, I looked at the new L with Lerato Kanyaho, the cover, and I'm like, what is this saying? It's not connecting to me. What is it? But when they put Amanda Black on the cover, that made sense for me.
Yeah, because the thing is, if you don't surround yourself with the people who are passionate and who are true for you, you want to keep on going the wrong direction.
Yeah,
I try to surround myself with people who criticize me and say, George, you're great, but this doesn't work. And I'm like, actually, you're right. I didn't look at it from that view. But if you surround yourself by people, you're going to keep on making the same mistakes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I would say proudly, like, we have the best covers in this country.
Yeah.
Because they're well thought out.
Yeah,
we understand.
Yeah.
We choose the people that we want to shoot.
Yeah.
We come up with an idea. We don't show up.
Not better than Threaded Man. I decided to put it on.
We can go toe to toe. Hey? We can go toe to toe. Because the thing is, we don't show up in studio and hope for the best. We show up in studio with an idea. If that idea doesn't work out, there's a second option.
There's a second idea.
But a lot of covers in this country, they just show up and hope for the best and leave it to the photographer to make it work.
Sometimes the covers are grainy. You're but this is an award-winning photographer, but grain.
No, you have to have a concept. You have to have concepts, and be like, ooh, I've been waiting. So the I look at it in the man's space, you know, like your GQs, your Destiny Man. Like sometimes I'm like, yo, if you guys would just give me an opportunity, I will show you amazing work. But like, it's not my place, you know. But some of the covers, it's just like, let's put on something.
Yeah.
And
but I think, let me play devil's advocate for magazines and say, you know, let's say Kanye Drama would argue and say, listen, young people don't sell covers in this country. Let me say that's the argument. Let's say young people don't sign. Most of the time that is. I remember, you know, South African magazines or magazines that are from international who are in South Africa will say, listen, we want to put Mang Mang on the cover. We want to put Mang Mang, but it doesn't sell. Do you think that's a good enough excuse not to put young talent on the cover?
Is it
about money and revenues, or is it actually about standing for something and having a purpose?
I think it's not true, because the thing is, let's say if you take Destiny as well.
Yeah.
It puts a lot of older people.
Dude.
Then you put one person and you hope that everybody changes with one issue. It doesn't work that way. Magazine takes time. Yeah. I can't take over a magazine and you expect it to work within the first month. It takes a good 3 months, 6 months for us to just get the rhythm.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? So I think it just takes time. It just takes time.
Yeah.
It's not a 2 minute noodle thing.
Yeah.
But you need to invest in the youth, because the older people are going to die out.
Yeah. And also die out.
They're
going to
die out.
But I also think Africa is such a young continent. So Africa is such a young country.
Mm.
And I don't understand exactly, if it doesn't sell, then it's not going to sell in the first issue. But if you do it over a period of time, then that will then pick up with that consistency.
But also, young people are not interested in buying magazines as well. It's not convenient. We are about convenience.
Yeah.
We just want content when I want it. Tell me a story. Let me read it. Nice.
Yeah.
Let me out. So those publications.
Definitely,
as well.
I don't buy a magazine unless there's specifically someone who's featured that I want to actually know about.
But
like, even with GQ, I'm not going to buy a story about Questa.
No.
Not to sound mean, not because I don't want to support Questa, but like, I don't know. I don't feel the urge to buy a GQ for Questa.
Yeah.
Not to say I'm not supporting him.
No,
but
I get that.
Like, yo,
and it's okay. It should be okay as
like,
well.
It's just like, yo, I love it. It's dope. I think it's great. I love the GQ team. I wasn't the cover of GQ, but I'm not going to buy it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I'm like,
because
I'd rather go online and read an article about him rather than.
But there's no that culture, because there's no craft into it.
Yeah.
There's no, like, there's an idea. Like, even the cover of Questa, he's there. There's no like,
it's like a red background and he's just standing
and
there.
It.
There's no
it.
Like,
there's no idea. There's no
you
concept.
Know. Let's shoot spirit.
Yeah,
like, that's what does that mean? Let's translate those,
you know,
colors,
I mean?
And textures of spirit. The music
even
with,
if they,
yeah.
they even if they took him to, there's the rundown shot with who Tebogo Malapo that did, and there was fire. There was a guy who was in fire with the old South African flag. Even if you just take him into the same scenario and shoot him there, there's a link. There's an idea. But
what I like about GQ is that at least it's starting to put local, more local people on the cover.
Yeah, they must just put the effort into into the.
But I feel
execution.
Like what kills me for Destiny or some magazines is that they'll have one good cover of a young person, and then it will just go back to. You know what I'm saying? Like, Al will get it right and put Amanda Black, and then the next month there's Katy Perry. And you're
but I figured out Al, right?
What happened?
Al does black, white, black, white, black, white. That's their thing.
Yeah.
That's their thing.
Which I think is dope, but then...
So I think they're still trying to balance themselves out, which I'm like, okay, cool. So I'll wait for... Because, like, I love the Loot Love one.
Exactly.
And
that was nice.
The Three Girls one.
That was nice.
I think the first three ones I love, well, the black covers, I was like, oh, I like this thing, you know. So but I realized that they do black, white, black, white, which maybe for them it's much more balancing, which is fine.
Can I say something controversial?
Yeah.
I feel like, especially around this is where my heart aches, right? And please, everyone that's listening, I'm not beefing with any magazines. We're just having an open conversation.
Just having a conversation.
But when my heart breaks is this. As black people
and
as black creatives,
why
are we so insecure to build our own brands? So I look at even like with Kanye Lomo purchasing Elle, I'm like, why couldn't she start another magazine that caters for young black women in South Africa? Why do we need to buy an Elle? Like, I hear this talk about Vogue Africa and everyone's like, ooh, Viva and Naomi Campbell. And I'm kind of like, fuck that. Like, why do we need a white-owned platform or white-built platform to tell our stories? Why do we need to hide behind these brands? Like, why do we need a GQ South Africa to put Quest on the cover? Why can't we produce magazines that do that? And then at the same time, you know very well, as someone who's innovative to start their own magazine and their own publication and been around for 10 years, you find that people like yourselves who are building something that's very new, that has a purpose, you get more criticized than people that are actually hiding behind brands. So it's like you're being hated for leading through a new path, yeah. but then other people are hiding behind brands that were built in Paris or New York or London.
It's fine.
And that's
though.
What goes for them.
It's so, fine because the thing is...
So what do you think of that? So why do you think we have this insecurity of always saying, oh, GQ must put more black people on the cover, Vogue must put more black people on the cover, when in fact the question should be, why can't we build more magazines that have black people on the cover and tell our stories?
Yeah. So when you start something
yeah.
and you're not hated, then you're not doing something right. You must know that.
Yeah.
When you start something and you hate it, you're on the right track. Chances are. Because, you know, that's how it is. Secondly, you need to understand that a lot of brand managers in this country are white.
Yeah.
So the decision makers are white. So what happens is that when Kanye buys an L, it means that it's going to be easy for her to get advertising or yeah. the support that she needs.
Yeah.
Rather than her starting an L that is starting it from scratch.
Yeah.
So for me personally, I really, really don't mind them taking that route if it works for them, because like now they're going to have the TV show and all of those things. It's a franchise.
Like even that Project Runway, I was yeah. like, why don't you just build a new program for young designers?
But the thing is, that's our job, because yeah. I feel like you cannot mention magazines without giving Kanye the props that she
oh no, definitely.
You get me? She has done.
She has fought at a high level.
She has, and she has done a part. And yeah. Tina, we are having this conversation, and yeah. we are fighting on the ground to own our own things, because there's yeah. nothing better than owning your own thing, because no one can tell you. Because there's a lot yeah. of brands who come to us and try to bully us yeah. into campaigns, and we're like, no, we're not gonna do it.
Yeah.
You know. Your brand, the way you want to do it is not speaking to our market, and we're not going to yeah. talk dumb to our people. But Abo Kanye, the people, Abo L, Kanye, and all the people at the top, they've done their part.
Yeah.
And we just need to carry on that fight.
Yeah.
It's going to take a while, but yeah. we need to carry
but
on
that
fight.
But I also think I'll definitely give Kanye props, because I think like Destiny is the only black-owned yeah. magazine.
There's black as well.
But there's like, black. Yeah. But I'm saying at a commercial yeah, level. Yeah, yeah, that's yeah, sitting, no. I mean, because black is biannual or yes, quarterly. Yeah. But I'm saying on a monthly basis,
it is.
On top of the shelves, yeah. big people on the cover.
Yeah, definitely.
I think
and it works.
Hit. And she bought her shares back from, you know, from Media 24.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think definitely she's fought that fight on a very high level.
Yeah, she has. You can't tell a magazine story without bringing Kanye
yeah.
into the
even media. I think media in yeah. general, like she's one of the only media
yeah.
houses that's operating at that level.
At that
I mean,
level.
Who buys
yeah.
out?
Like
yeah. imagine.
Yeah.
So that I can really appreciate it and see.
It's
but
a big
I think
move.
For me at the same time, it's like, let's take that further and
yeah.
build a motherfucking L.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But we need to do that, because
yeah.
the thing is, like it's like, What do they call it? American Gangster. When that girl was like, why did you call this bar Smalls and stuff?
Yeah.
And Frank Lucas is like, when you own something, you can call it whatever you want.
Yeah.
And the thing is, owning something comes with a lot of responsibilities. And
yeah.
you know that.
Yeah.
Like, the first couple of years are hard.
The responsibility of understanding you're going to be broke.
Yeah, for a long time.
For a while.
For a long time. But the thing is, when someone comes through and say, I want to buy this thing for $50 million. Your kids are sorted. Your name is sorted.
Yeah.
Like, it's a long term. Now you can be able, like, okay, I need a female version of this. I need a TV show of this and this. And that's the battle that we are fighting for.
Yeah.
The people above us who are older than that, they've done their jobs.
Yeah.
But we need to be able, you need to
definitely
do that. The African Vogue,
as Tip says, every complaint is an opportunity.
It's an opportunity.
Yeah.
African Vogue needs to come here and say Threaded Man is showing us flames.
Yeah.
We have a brand, but these little guys are showing us flames.
Yeah.
Because I understand that GQ is an international
brand,
but I'm saying that we're showing them flames, and
yeah.
that's how it should be.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? To a
yeah.
point where they're like, okay, this is our competitor.
Yeah.
These guys are our competitor.
Yeah.
So we need to take it there.
Yeah.
It's our
now
job.
let me ask you something even more. I mean, also the digital and magazine space has changed largely to social
yeah.
media as well.
Yeah.
Where now, you know, you get influencers who are having
yeah.
blogs or also
yeah.
doing content, and in some respect, have sort of taken a bit of audience away from magazines, essentially.
Yeah, no,
because
definitely.
Now it's like, I'm not going to read a magazine about fashion. I'd rather go read Lerato's blog or Amy's song, or let me check out CIBile's or Marvin's, whatever.
Yeah.
People now have become more specific to what they want to consume.
Yeah.
What do you think of the blogging space in South African content?
I think it's great because, like, so when we started blogging, around 2005, it was just a space in online where you can be able to say whatever you want.
Yeah.
And mostly because we didn't have the voice. What I've seen it to be now is, it's amazing, you know?
Yeah.
And some of the negative stuff that I've seen with regards to blogging is that everyone wants to be the owner or the content producer, and not everyone can be a content producer. Everyone is producing content, but not everyone is good at it as well. So all I can say is it's a tough space to be in. So when you decide that you want to be a content producer, make sure that you are producing different content and you are giving away a different perspective.
Yeah.
Because when we came in as Marvin, we knew that there were your Destinies, your GQs, and your Blacks. So we had to understand that we had to create a different voice to say that, Bon, we're not for everyone. And these are pillars. This is what we're doing. This is what we are about. And we found our niche. And our niche works for us, you know. We're not trying to go for businessmen who are older. We're not trying to go for the most fashionable magazine. We're just like, Joe, let's have conversations as Black men, you know. And that's our thing. So I think it's interesting and it has grown, and that's good. But also you're fighting to differentiate yourself as well.
Most people argue and say that the whole blogging space is a bubble that is going to blow pretty soon.
It won't.
Do you think it will? What do you think is going to happen? Because I do feel to a certain extent it's a free-for-all type of ride right now. Where, like, for example, let me put it this way. So I consider you to an extent a blogger.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But more than that, I respect you. Or more than that, I know you as a business and as an entrepreneur, number one.
Yeah.
And blogging is an outlet for you to share all the different business aspects that you do.
Yeah.
But now the argument then also becomes that, so someone like you, as a brand like Jameson or whatever, it makes sense to work with someone like you because I know that social media isn't just your bread and butter, but it's a space where you share all your other spaces of influence, right?
Yeah.
So I work with you because I want to work within your atmosphere.
Yeah.
But now you get bloggers who their careers is just Instagram.
Yeah.
And they are working with brands, and most brands are now complaining that they're not getting a return. And it's like, but
What
did you expect? So there's a huge space where, or a huge vacuum where there's a lot of, because if you post online and you post your six pack, you're going to get a followers. If you're a girl and you post a little bit of body there, people are going to follow you because men are creeps online, right? So you end up having 20K, 30K followers, you know, slay queens this, slay kings this, and they get a lot of followers. But matter of fact, they don't have a career.
Yeah.
But then they end up working on big campaigns.
Yeah.
And then now the blogging space is now having a huge problem because now it's like, what kind of bloggers do we want to work with? What is happening? So I do feel that at some point, only a few bloggers are actually going to last the long run, and some will fall through the cracks.
Yeah, a lot of them will fall. Like, Bon, on Instagram right now, everyone has an ass. Everyone always shoots
Everyone is drinking champagne. Yeah. Everyone's doing flat lays.
And drinking water. And I'm like, okay, cool.
With lemons and things inside.
So what we did, I think that differentiated, we're like, okay, we're a magazine. We're speaking to Black men. We're speaking to the young professional Black men.
Yeah.
And we want to speak to him this way.
Yeah.
So, and also we had to differentiate ourselves to say that we're not, if you look at us as a blogger, we're not the blogger that you know. We had a billboard in Foy's and Sandton.
Yeah.
We're a business. Our office is situated in Rosebank. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just because you see us online, we're not running this thing from a coffee shop.
Yeah.
You know, it's a proper business that has numbers, that has clients and all of those things. So, we take ourselves seriously. You know, if you get to, our website, it's clean. You can tell that, you know, we care about design. You go to our Instagram, you can tell that we, everything that we post is well thought out.
Yeah.
So we know that we're going to get to a point where we're going to be like a Mr. Porter, you know, where it doesn't matter anymore whether we're online or not, but we would have worked hard enough to differentiate ourselves from everybody else. Because, yeah, everybody else now looks the same.
Yeah.
Everybody looks the same.
And then now, what do you think? So there's a lot of young content creators who are listening to the show and wondering, how does one, you know, in building, if I want to build it, because I feel like also that, not that the world, as you said before, the world doesn't need a Nugget magazine, but I think that we do, as black people, need more platforms.
Yeah, I mean,
we don't have people talking about sex and teenagers. Yeah. We don't have, there's so many.
There's so much content
to talk about.
There's no YFM anymore. And I think, or Y magazine anymore.
Yeah,
but
who's talking about radio? Who's doing radio publication or platform?
Yes.
So I feel to a certain extent, because of the fashion space, it's blinded us completely to the potential of, there's so many other topics that are lucrative. That people can write about, like black people and cars, man. Like black people like cars. Who captures that essence? We don't read car magazine.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like who talks to black people about gadgets and technology and like artificial intelligence and like what's happening in tech? That's still a much a wide owned space.
We need a lot of that. We need
so now sitting, there's a young kid right now listening to the show. There's a kid in high school. There's someone sitting at their job thinking, oh my God, I want to start a publication. What advice do you think, what is the five tips you would give to say, if you're starting a publication, you need to make sure you cover the following? What are those five things? And let's make it broader, content wise in general. If you're going to be a content creator, whether it's going to be a magazine, whether it's going to be a blogger, what are the five things that you feel are very important that someone should make sure they have covered?
Okay, I think one, be nice. I know it's ridiculous, but I think you get a lot done, and you get more content out of people when you're nice. When you're a nice guy, you know, be nice, work hard. It goes without saying, you know, without work, without a work ethic, without always trying to beat yourself.
Yeah,
you're not gonna be good at anything, you know. Travel. I think traveling helps your mind open up, because the more you open, the more obviously you'll spend a lot of time online, but the more you travel, the more you gain confidence in yourself, the more you grow, the more you make friends like all over the world, and the more you learn, and the more you learn, the more you understand that actually you don't have it all figured out, and you shouldn't.
Yeah.
You just know your lane, and you're going to need help with everyone else. You're going to need someone who's really good at videos. You're going to need someone who's good at editing. You're going to need someone who's good at photography to make whatever it is that you want to start to work.
Yeah.
Another thing is that spend time in corporate.
Really?
Spend time in corporate or watch mob star movies between the two or gangster movies.
I can really relate to that. I think also personally for me, the biggest mistakes I've made in running my business is that, fuck, I wish I would have known how to negotiate like that or understand.
No, but you shouldn't be negotiating.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
No, but I'm saying is because when you start up and you don't have employees, you are at the forefront of the business.
Yeah.
And there's certain things that corporate can teach you in how to do best business practice certain systems.
So here's something I can teach you.
Some biggest failures I've had has been like, yo, actually, like my friends who are in corporate, like, you know, you should know this.
So here's what I can tell you.
Yeah.
So go to corporate. Also surround yourself with people that you need. Like have a lawyer friend, have a finance friend, whatever. Then even when you're just chilling, talking about nonsense, you're learning something.
Yeah.
Also in business, if you're the face, don't handle the numbers.
Yeah.
It's not your job. Your job is for everyone to like you. That's it.
Yeah.
For me, Marvin, my job is for everyone to like me. There's a guy who handles the numbers.
Yeah.
Who goes and like, okay, you guys have spoken about this campaign with George. Okay, cool. Let's talk the numbers.
The numbers.
And he doesn't mind being the hated guy. Yeah. He doesn't mind being the bad guy.
The horrible guy.
He doesn't mind.
Yeah.
You know, then he'll come back to me. He's like, okay, I've negotiated this much, but that's the best number that I could get out of them.
Yeah.
But then he keeps his relationship and I keep my relationship, because now, if I have to negotiate and be the face, at some point I'm going to have to bump into you and I'm going to be emotional about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that doesn't help.
Yeah.
So in your business, that's why I think, there was a time where I was obsessed with, business and I was researching a lot. In business, there's always two guys, but yeah. we always know the one guy. You know, even with Steve Jobs or Bill Gates, there's a
black
guy.
Coffee. We know Black Coffee, yeah. but most people don't know Amaru.
Yes, Amaru is the guy who's
Amaru
like
Amaru is the guy that gets the cash.
He gets the cash. He's like, he's not flying out without a deposit, 75% deposit.
Yeah.
And he deals with that. Black Coffee, everybody needs to just love him. Yeah. You know what I mean? And the thing
Black
is,
Black Coffee just has to pitch up and be the best DJ in the world. That's his job. And that's his job.
So if you can get that right within your business, where you get a guy who handles the numbers, you will be happy.
Think what's great about that is that, like, Black Coffee has the focus and the space of mind or the peace of mind to be the best DJ.
Yes.
He's not thinking how I'm going to pay my bills. He's not thinking about all
money.
That's
not his job.
He's just creating. That's his job. And that's why he's so good.
Yes.
Because he's been giving that authority to Black Coffee. All you have to do is show up and play the best you can.
And
be
just
the
tell
best.
Me, I don't want to play here. I want to play here. I like this one. I like that's it.
Yeah.
So if you can get that for your business, you'll see.
And LeBron James has Mav Carter.
That's it.
Yeah.
There's always two. So if you can get your person and you can get a guy who's going to sort that out, you'll be happy. People will be like, yo, I'm not stressing about money because I know this guy has sorted it out.
Yeah.
For the next 3 months, I'm sorted.
Yeah, you know, I'm on set.
I've been paid. Yeah, I've been rich. So I think that's one of the biggest problems, I think, with us young black entrepreneurs. But there's no one who's there to tell us as well.
Yeah.
You know, to say, actually, you need a partner. You need a partner who just sorts out that part.
Yeah.
And who's very meticulous, who's very focused about it. He doesn't want to be famous. He doesn't want to be you as well.
Yeah.
You know, because most of the time you get someone who also wants to be famous. Then it becomes a problem.
There's also that, because also like managers want to be famous now.
Yeah,
PR
they do.
People want to be famous.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be famous now.
Yeah.
Like,
and you're like,
it's like, I don't want to see your face. I enjoy you where you are.
Yeah.
Like magazine editors want to be, like everybody is like in this sort of influencer, I want to be famous space. And that has built a very, and I think that's why most people miss the right structures in business, because people are jumping towards, I want to be that guy in the Porsche.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? I want to be that guy on Instagram slaying, when actually, in fact, that takes time. You need to
invest
in the right people, find the right people.
And
you
do you even have the right personality for it?
Yeah.
Because one of the things that I'm really scared of is fame, because like, it's you really need to have the personality for it, because it's ruthless out there. Like anything that you do, it's out there. You know, and people are gonna criticize you, and others are not even.
Dude, like when I describe fame, it's like you need to have, you know, your heart.
Yeah,
there needs to be a dark side of your heart.
Yeah,
because the dark side is when people, literally, it's about you have to be a nurturing and caring person, but also you have to have this I don't care attitude, because you need that covering, because some people are going to talk a lot of crap about you.
They're going to come for no reason.
And as an entrepreneur that faces so many failure, imagine if every mistake you've made over the last 10 years was public
knowledge.
That's it. So I think that's one thing I found true about my business.
Yeah.
But I think I've gotten to a point now where I don't mind the fame anymore. I think now I feel more empowered by it, because now it's like whatever I do, people are listening, and I can control what people are listening to.
Okay.
And I can control that according to what I release.
Yeah.
So what can be criticized is what I put out. So if I don't put it out, it can't be criticized. And if
you're more aware.
I'm more aware of the space and the power I carry in the space. And now I understand intrinsically that if people are talking about something I haven't released, I'm not taking part in that conversation.
You distance yourself.
So even social media now, I only post when I have something to say. I'm not gonna post and comment on you show me.
Yeah.
You look so great today in your selfie. Yeah. I don't do that. Like I'm there if I feel like I have some things to share.
Then you'll
business
share
wise, I'll share it. If I feel there's a project I'm working on that I want to talk about, I'll talk
then
about
you put it.
It
out.
That's it. I don't talk about how I'm feeling in love or what or who. No.
Okay, maybe I need to look at it from that view, because the thing is, I was on TV at some point. I think it was 2006.
Yeah.
It was a reality show, a design called The Cut.
I know The Cut, yeah.
So I got a glimpse of it. And I remember they threw like a launch campaign in Moloko.
Mm.
And it was like around 1 a.m. And then I was like, I cannot be known for being on TV.
Yeah.
And I left and I started Studio 83.
Yeah.
I was like, I cannot be known.
But also I think there's a different, also I think there's different types of fame.
Yeah.
I think there's the Kardashian type fame.
Yeah.
Where it's like anything goes type fame. But I also think there's an Oprah type of fame or a Barack Obama type fame where people, you're famous because people respect you.
Yes.
For what you've achieved.
Yeah, I want that.
So that's more of what I'm after. And that has to do with just focusing on work, not focusing on your life.
No,
drive the news.
No, yes. I want to be known for the things that I've done and the work that I've done. And I think so far it's working out well because it's more about George who has created Marvin. It's not George who has done 1, 2, 3. Which I don't mind that because then at least I can control it. And no one really cares about who I'm dating, what I do. And they'll just follow me because they really interested in me and my life and how I make Marvin work.
Yeah.
And the people that work within that. But yeah, that when I saw that and I was like, okay, I want to be famous for my work, not because I was on a reality show.
Yeah.
That can't be.
Like, Picasso is famous because he's one of the greatest artists of all time, not because he dated this woman or had this with Wang Mang or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yo, dude, I feel like my show is too short. Gareth Cliff, please, can I have a bigger time slot, bro? Please, man. Dory, Greg, I need a bigger time slot.
Something,
yeah. Black people, please keep listening to my show so I can tell them I've got the numbers, eh? What does the future look like for Marvin?
Wow.
What is your vision for Marvin? Where are you going with Marvin?
Wow.
Where is Marvin at in the journey right now?
Marvin is the world. So we literally only gonna come out now with the Vaseline campaign. And I think it's going to be exciting. Then your Marvin Zooms are going to come out.
Yeah.
There's a store coming in. There's a lot of traveling around the world.
So what is the Vaseline campaign? Is it a cover? Like what should people be excited to see?
It's telling stories. We want to tell stories of men, you know, because we believe that, I've always said, I said this 2 or 3 years ago, is like, if we don't take care of the conversation between men, women and children are going to suffer. And we're seeing the results of that as it is. So we need to have those uncomfortable conversations and say, no, this is not the right way to do it.
So,
we're going for the world. I think this year is going to be one of the biggest year for Marvin.
Yeah.
And we're going to be doing interesting stuff and we're going to be growing and watch out the space.
Yeah. Do you want to tell you also what I like about you and Marvin is steady growth.
Steady, yeah. Don't.
I feel like also like it's something also I did in my business is that because you ambitious for that big picture, you want to do everything now.
No, you can't do everything.
But what
now.
I admire about you, your essence has never shifted. You've always sat steady in what you are doing and in your lane.
Stay in your lane. And you've just love your lane.
And you've just been like you're almost like it's almost like you can either build a monument.
Yeah.
Out of stone or marble.
Yeah.
Stone can crumble, but marble or diamonds won't crumble. So you're like a guy that's sculpting Marvin on a daily using marble. And that is a hard and takes years.
It takes years.
And most of us just want to put clay and be like, yo.
But the thing is, but that's where we're going. So if look at Marvin in the next 3 years, no one in this country, in this world is going to touch us.
Yeah.
We'll be having investors from all over the world who wants a piece of it, offering 100 millions and be like, Joe, I want it.
Yeah.
Because what we're creating, I want it
to
last
for. So in
3 years,
I can come ask you for 1 million?
No, you can.
Okay.
Maybe 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe next year.
Yeah, maybe next year. You can. But it takes time to build something. It takes time, and we're taking our time. We're not in a rush.
Wow, thank you so much. I feel like every week I always feel like with my guests, there's so much to talk.
No,
and you know how it takes to get into a conversation to actually get it going. So I'm very, very, very happy you're here. But I think I want to bring you back sometime soon.
No,
where can people catch up with you or find Marvin?
So go to marvin.co.za. On social media, it's I am Marvin, ZA. On my personal one is GG Macheke, on all social media platforms. And yeah, you know, the next couple of months are going to be very interesting. You'll hear definitely about Marvin.
You'll As you heard it, guys, that's George Macheka talking about Marvin. And thank you so much for tuning in.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I have to do this to you because I always feel like we're running out of time. But actually, since you're talking about people watching mob movies and stuff, I actually found a song that I thought I should play for you.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoy this track. Okay, I hope you enjoy this track. Guys, this is CIBE. Thank you so much for joining us on the Thread Exchange. Make sure you WhatsApp us your thoughts on 079-748-2090. Check out the podcast on Twitter probably tomorrow or the day after. I'll tweet about it. I'll send it to George. Also, he can tweet about it. And you can, relive and re-listen to this conversation. I think it's very important. Thank you so much, George, for being here.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
It's such a pleasure, man. Thank you for chilling with me. And especially in winter. People don't like doing these kind of things in winter.
It's fine.
Appreciate it. So I've got a Pusha T song.
Yeah.
And since you're saying that you're going to be having 100 million, this song is called If You Know, You Know. And I feel like you're going to make some money.
I know.
This is CliffCentral.com.